141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen Naismith returns to Scottish football after signing a loan deal with Hearts. Jambos fans everywhere seem delighted. So, is this the best piece of business done so far in the transfer window? Nadir Chiefchi hasn't given up on a Celtic future as he gets ready for his first game on loan at Motherwell. Christopher Iyer has his sights set on being the Hoops' first choice defender. And we hear from Jack Ross as St Mirren look to cause a cup upset at Aberdeen on Saturday. Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are both here with me, Gordon. And Duncan, are you well?
Yes,
all good.
Now, I usually like to kick off with a bit of hard-hitting football news, something to really get you engaged, but I do feel like sharing with you that at 3 minutes past six, Gordon Dalziel is already doing my nutting. He's become one of these Fitbit bores. I'm sure we've all seen him. He's actually been pacing around this studio in a desperate attempt to get his steps up for the day, and it is doing my nutting. So hopefully he manages to stay next to the mic for the next 2 hours or so and we can get some football discussion going. It's 01419511025 if you want to get in touch on the phones, and please do. And of course we are at Clyde SSB on Twitter. The big transfer story of the day, gentlemen, was Stephen Naismith on loan to Hearts. 31-year-old striker signed a deal until the end of the season from Norwich. So he's here today. He'll train with his new teammates for the first time tomorrow. Technically could make his debut in Sunday's Scottish Cup tie against Hibs. What a game that would be to make your debut in at Tynecastle. What are your thoughts on that as a signing?
I think it's a great signing. I've always been a fan of Stephen Naismith, you know, way back to when he was at Kilmarnock. Then he took that on to Rangers, done exceptionally well there, and went down south, played in a very difficult league and proved he could last the test of time down there. And obviously as he gets a bit older, he's dropped down the division, but still at a good club. So I think it's an excellent signing. I think he's still got a lot of quality and he'll offer Hearts a lot. Might strike up a good partnership with Kyle Lafferty, who he's played with before. And it's a lot of money. Well, reportedly a lot of money Hearts have spent on him. But well done to Hearts for going out and having the bottle to go after a player like him and have the means to attract him. I think it's a very good signing for Hearts, and I'll go along with some of the things I've read. I was surprised that Rangers perhaps weren't interested in him, but Rangers is lost. If they were ever interested, it's Hearts' game.
Would you, Marty, you're touching on a point there just to see what people think. Naismith, Rangers, or would you take Jason Cummings?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, Cummins has scored a lot of goals and he's younger.
Yeah, but not at that level. Not at the level
not at the level. You're right.
To be fair though, it doesn't seem like Rangers were ever in for him. I know people make that link, but I don't really think that's really an issue. By the way, there might be some Rangers fans out there who say, "Oh, I would have liked to have gone for him." That's a different thing. But it doesn't really seem that Rangers were ever in for him.
I think touching on his going to Hearts, I think it's a great bit of business. I totally agree with Mark. I think it's fantastic. Great bit of experience. Lafferty, for some reason, you know, since he's came to Tynecastle, he looks a lad that's enjoying his football again, working very well, playing very well. Naismith brings bags of experience. And the one thing you'll always get off of Naismith throughout his career, he will go out and put a real shift in for you. And I think that's what the Hearts fans want. I think that's what Craig Levein's looking for. I think he'll be a terrific bit of business in January.
So let us know, do you think that's the best piece of business done in the transfer window so far? Yes or no? And if not, what is? 0141 951 1025. A couple coming in on Twitter already. Hugh Moan says a great deal for Hearts to get Stephen Naismith on loan. Kenny the Jambo, I'm not surprised to see him popping up on the phone lines tonight. Kenny, I'm sure you're a happy man.
Oh, very happy. Evening, guys.
Hello.
Evening, Kenny.
Evening.
I think, just as you say there, Gordon, I think it's a brilliant signing for Hearts. You know, I mean, Walker's just away, and in comes Naismith. I think we're going to forget Walker quite quickly if Stephen's kept himself nice and fit.
I suppose that will be the challenge, Mark. He's not played since August. Now, that's 5 months. A lot of people saying that he could, and it's still true, I said it myself, you know, he could make his debut this week in the Edinburgh Derby. If you've not played for 5 months, how able are you to go into a fixture like that?
Like, there's no doubt you lose a wee bit when you don't play top league football. And when I say that, I mean he's probably played reserve games and it's probably been bounce games that he's been involved in that 5 months. But you do lose a bit when you don't play in front of a full stadium where it really means something. So there's no doubt about that. It will be difficult to go in, there's no doubt about that. But like Gordon says, Stephen Naismith always gives a shift, and he's a boy that you look at and you can see he's looked after himself. You can see he's a fit lad. So I don't think it'll be a problem, especially when you've got that experience behind you that Stephen Naismith's got. I think it's different if you're a young player who's no, you know, you've come up on loan, you've not played all year, and you get flung in and you might run a wee bit low on energy. Stephen Naismith has played in some of the biggest games that's gone about. So even if he does get a wee bit tired, his know-how, his game knowledge would get him through an experience like that.
I think, Mark, to be honest, it's a perfect game for him, because Mark will tell you, we've been involved in them. It doesn't matter if you've not played or how your fitness is. When you play in a derby, whether it be the Glasgow derby or the Edinburgh derby, for instance, especially at Tynecastle, where the atmosphere is electric, we all know that, I think the adrenaline gets you through. And even if, you know, Craig Levein can say to him, look, go out and give me your best for 65, 70 minutes, it could win them the game and then get them substituted. So I don't think putting them into a derby at the weekend would be a gamble. I think you would get something out of them.
Kenny, I don't think it's any secret that that's the area of the field that Hearts have been crying out for, isn't it? The clean sheets have been great. Defensively, it's looked sound, but it's been at the business end of the pitch, if you like, that Hearts have been crying out for someone.
I think it's great, Gordon. You know, I think they're getting the defence in a nice solid position, and I think Stephen Naismith is just a perfect tick in the box for putting somebody up there, as you say, with experience. Gordon, Mark, you're both saying that. I think the atmosphere of the Edinburgh Derby, which I'm actually going to on Sunday, so for the first time in a long time, so I'm actually chuffed to bits, and I think the atmosphere is, like you say, going to be electric on Sunday.
You can't always tell them. I appreciate I'm asking you to look into your crystal ball here. Does this strike you, because I've seen a lot of people sort of discussing this on social media and so on, does this strike you as the best piece of business done so far in the window in Scotland?
I think it's up there. I think that only time will tell. I think Rangers have done good business. Unfortunately for Celtic, the centre-half compere has been injured, so we'll have to wait to see what he brings to the table. But I think Naismith is a big coup for Hearts. I think he could be the difference of, you know, chasing, like, say, for Hibs in fourth place and 35 points, Hearts are something like 30. Big game, big cup game at the weekend. If it was me, I would have no hesitation in putting him in the team.
Look, for the best bit of business, like you say, you never know how it's going to pan out. But just now, I mean, Stephen Naismith, what did he move for? Not that long ago, a couple of years, 3 years ago, £8 million or something like that, reportedly on 50
and 31, so
50
he's
grand
still got
a week. Yeah. And for a team, you know, such as Hearts, to attract a player who was worth that a few years ago to Scotland, I think it's marvellous. Marvellous for the club. And like I say, good on Hearts for going out and identifying him and then attracting him.
What do you guys think? Is that the best piece of business so far? And if not, then what is? 0141 951 1025. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. And I know that Kilmarnock were even mentioned as a former club. Are there fans of any other teams out there who would have rather seen Stephen Naismith turn out for their team after January? Kenny, when you look at the makeup of the Hearts squad now, there's quite a deliberate thing there in terms of the experience of Lafferty, Christoph Berra, Aaron Hughes. Now add Stephen Naismith to that. Then right at the other end of the spectrum, you've got the kids like Harry Cochrane and Anthony McDonald and so on. Do you feel like Stephen Naismith, forget what he can do as a player, do you feel like he can add something as a character as well in all his experience?
Oh, definitely, Gordon. I think, as you say, with Lafferty and the older heads in the team and we've got the youth, I just hope the Sheffield Giants on Wednesday that have been sniffing about Cochrane. I hope they get snowed in on Sunday and they get him in the ground. We want to keep all the youngsters, you know what I mean? It's a good wee set-up they've got there at the Rickerton base and that, and bringing through the youngsters, and at least Levine's giving them a chance.
Well, that's the thing, Mark. You talk about you know, pedigree and levels that players have played at. I don't want to overstate this because it's fairly obvious that Stephen Naismith is at a time in his career where he's perhaps best suited to playing up here. I know there were Championship clubs that he was linked with. You know, his days in English Premier League are over, so I'm not wanting to over-exaggerate it. However, you think back a couple of years ago, over 100 appearances for Everton. Remember that hat-trick he scored against Chelsea? So this is the pedigree that he brings to the table, and that's surely still beneficial, even if he's not at that type of form anymore.
Of course. I mean, we're not talking about This guy was at the top of the game 10 years ago, and you know, now he's winding down. He's 31. This wasn't that long ago. He was playing in the top league and probably, well, some would argue world football. You're right, scoring a hat trick, but then moving on for such a large fee. And okay, he hasn't played since August, but he's a fit lad, and he's the experience he brings of playing at that level against those type of players should put him in a good frame of mind coming up here. And the mix that he's got at the team, you're right when you mentioned the mix, a few older heads, but the young players like Harry Cochran, seeing him coming up here, who's played at the top level against top opponents, and seeing him every day in training, that'll bring those boys on as well. So it's a win-win for Hearts, you would think. On the face of it just now, these things sometimes don't work out, but just now, that looks a top signing.
See, the big talking point, Gordon, everybody will jump the bandwagon and say, well, he's not played since August. Every loan signing, really, if you look, for instance, Rangers as well, Russell Martin, not played. I think he's August as well, Gordon. Am I right in saying that? Round about that?
Sorry?
Russell Martin. Yeah. You've got Murphy, who's hardly played a game. Cummings hasn't played a lot with Nottingham Forest. That's the reason you get these players on loan. So the clubs must feel confident enough to say, yeah, okay, he's not played first team football for a few months, but they still can offer something. I think that Mark's right about he can offer something on the pitch, and I'm sure in the dressing room as well.
Well, I'm sure we're going to get to speak to him in the coming days, but some quotes coming out of Hearts TV initially saying that Hearts showed the most enthusiasm to get something done as quick as possible, and I like that. Mark, is that when you're a player and you're perhaps got a couple of clubs and you're assessing your options, how important is it to feel loved? Everybody loves to feel loved,
feel
don't
wanted.
They? But does it play a big part?
Yeah, it certainly does. And especially, see if you're a player like Stephen Naismith, who has been sitting there since August and he's desperate to play, and it comes the transfer window now, we're into, what, the 18th of January, so we're over 2 weeks in, and maybe something's not coming together. His agent may be telling him this club's interested, but there's a wee bit to go. He's desperate to play football, and it sounded like he made his mind up that he wanted to come up to Scotland. So when Hearts, the club they are, the new stand, the stadium, everything that goes with it, comes in with a solid offer, I think that would have made his mind up pretty quickly.
The other line as well, Gordon, he says, I know what the gaffer is about and that played its part, so quite simple. And I know that Craig Levein has many critics, but again, he is undeniably a manager who's managed at high level. He's been the national team manager. That's obviously where he struck up such a relationship with Stephen Naismith that he was able to tempt him to come up to Hearts.
Yes, it helps when you know the manager, and the manager obviously knows the players, his strengths, his weaknesses. I think the fact that if you look at Hearts with their new stadium, Gordon, they're selling out every home game. You know, they've got a fantastic fan base there. Mark will tell you, we've played there. It's a terrific stadium to go to. Atmosphere's great. So if you're not going to go to the likes of a Rangers or a Celtic, I think Hearts are a terrific club to join. And I think I could be wrong, but I think just looking at his game, look at the way he goes about his business, I think he's tailor-made for Hearts.
Tower Traders on Twitter with a really burning football issue of the day. He says, hey guys, can I just ask, was it Gordon Dalziel that I saw in Sainsbury's in East Kilbride? I looked at him, he looked at me, and I just wanted to ask if it was him, but I kept on walking. That wasn't you, you're not a Sainsbury's man. No chance. No chance.
Too expensive for him.
You joking? I don't know, bargains to be had in
no,
there.
No, it was Waitrose I was in.
Sorry.
Aldi.
Sorry, Tower Trader. Can you believe, though?
Just to clear aisle.
We've just uncovered a Gordon Dalziel lookalike. That's a scary thought for everyone, isn't it? Vale Dale's on. He says Naismith hasn't played a game in 5 months. Come on, the two pundits on your panel saying he's going to be okay to play. He might be fit, but will he be match fit? Of course he won't. Ryan is a Rangers fan in Cumbernauld. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, panel. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
First time caller. I think this might be a popular subject, but I just wanted to talk about the transfer business done in January. And I think the signing of Cummings has been an excellent bit of business for Rangers, long till the end of the season with an option to buy. I know he's kind of fell out of favour a little bit at Nottingham Forest, but I remember him when he was at Hibs. He's a player that you don't really want to have lining up against. He's got a certain kind of cockiness and a bit of a swagger about him that I think makes a good striker. Just wanted to get the panel's thoughts on that signing in particular.
Well, Ryan, I think that's well known from everyone that he's not short in confidence. The lad believes in his own ability, and when he scores a goal and it's a good goal or it's against a decent team, he's not shy in coming forward and letting you know all about it. And I like that. I like a bit of arrogance for a centre forward. I like somebody who believes in their own ability. Time will tell, because when he scored most of his goals with Hibs, it was in the Championship. He went down to Forest. It's not worked out for him yet. It still could. And he's come up to Rangers and he's now up a level again. He's at a club that expects their strikers to be on, you know, on fire, scoring goals, hit the ground running. But he's one of these guys that he just believes in his own confidence. He believes in his own ability, everything about him. And the one thing I do like about him, even the Championship, he gets into good positions and the lad can finish. So if they create chances for him, I will not be surprised if he hits the back of net.
Ryan, how do you think he'll fare in Scotland's top flight? Because partly because of his age and because of Hibs circumstances, most of what we've seen of him up here has actually been in the Championship. How do you think he'll cope with the Ladbrokes Premiership?
Well, it pains me to say it, but I remember being at Ibrox when we played against Hibs and he was through on the goal and he chipped Fodringham. So he's definitely not short of confidence. So I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be able to handle the pressures of playing for Rangers and playing in front of 50,000 every Saturday. And something that Graham Murphy had said the other day was that he's looking for that little thing in players where they've got that ability to go and handle the pressure. And I think that even for a young guy, he's definitely got that. So hopefully it'll work out.
I think the biggest thing for him, Gordon, is simple, especially if you're a striker. Get your first goal as quick as you can, because it settles you right down. If you come to a club and you're a striker and your responsibility is really scoring goals, just to get that monkey off your back's incredible. Get that first goal quickly. If he gets that, he could have a terrific end of the season.
I mean, the goal record in the Championship was obviously very good, Mark. I think it was 48 across his last two seasons in that division. I know that different levels provide different challenges, as we saw with him going down south, but sometimes guys who are just, they just have that knack of scoring goals, don't they?
Yeah,
I'm not saying that will definitely be the case, but he's shown that so far.
And the Championship, I know he was playing against lesser teams, but remember the Championship still had, at that time, I'm pretty sure Hearts in it, and it had Rangers in it, so it was strong enough. But what I like about him is he scores different goals. You know, he can score from outside the box, he'll score chips, like Ryan said there. You know, he can score tap-ins. He's got a lot to his game, and a player that Rangers don't really have up front. You know, that style of play, Morelos will score you the penalty box goals, but Cummins certainly brings something different.
You want to come back in, Ryan?
No, that's all I wanted to discuss, guys, so thanks for taking my call.
Great stuff, thank you very much. That was Ryan, the Rangers fan in Cumbernauld there. We were talking about Stephen Naismith's move to Hearts. We were asking you if it was the best move of the window so far in your mind, or what was. Graham McLeish is on Twitter. He says, only my opinion as a lifelong Rangers supporter, but I feel Rangers will come to regret not snapping up Naze. And then Derek Henderson on with a question. He says, what happens if Cummings scores 10 to 15 goals? Is the fee agreed, or can Forrest ask for more? We're going to get the traffic and travel with Amber, and after that we're going to hear from Nadir Chiefchi. Thinks he might still have a future at Celtic. He hasn't given up on that. Keen to get your thoughts coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We kicked off by talking about Stephen Naismith, his loan move to Hearts. What you made of that? Was it the best deal of the window? And if not, what do you think has been the best piece of business done so far? If you like to get involved, it's 0141 951 1025. Of course, we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. But let's hear from Nadir Chiefchi, shall we? Because he's still hopeful of a future at Celtic and says there is no hard feelings between him and Brendan Rodgers. The Turkish striker's now on loan at Motherwell, of course, until the end of the season, and he believes the environment at the Steelmen will help rediscover his best form.
It's been up and down, to be fair, with Celtic for me in my career, but like I say, I'm happy to be here and to concentrate on Motherwell. The manager has spoken to Brendan, and what they have spoken, I don't know, but obviously they made it for me easy to come here, and they were happy for me to come here and play. There's always hope, and there's always doors open. So, like I say, I'll think about it when the season is finished. All what matters now is for me is Motherwell. I've always spoke positive, and he's done the same. It's just not being able to play under him, but I've always rated him high. I think every move is the same kind of importance. You know, you just want to play games, you just want to get out there and have fun. But this means a bit, I think, different because of the chat with the manager, the environment that I'm here. Just everything they've been giving me already so far from the people around the club. So I'm determined to give them back everything I have in me. So, but I can feel the enjoyment here already, like I've said it before. the kind of feeling that I had there, the kind of happiness and everything, it's kind of here as well that I can feel. So hopefully I can do the same things on the park as well. I've always been trying to just enjoy the park, and if I score the goals, happy days. But I'll just do everything I have to give them whatever I can. And sometimes it will be goals, sometimes it will be assists, sometimes whatever it is. But I'm not really putting myself under that pressure of needing to score goals. Obviously, it will be always good, but first and foremost, help the team with whatever I have to do.
Now, let's be fair to Nadir Chiefchi, because he's very, very unlikely to sit there and say, yeah, I've got no chance at Celtic, I'm finished, move on. Any chance whatsoever that he...
Do you want me to say it for him?
He rediscovers this form and has a future at Celtic?
I'm quite happy to say for him. I don't think the lad, and I'm not being disrespectful, I know Mark will back him to the hill, because Mark's waiting till his career ends and still backs him. I think he's got a big job in his hands at Motherwell. He could be a real good signing for Motherwell. I was watching him train the other day. He's a strong lad. He's got, technically, he's very, very good, Gordon. But I think the ship sailed at Celtic for him. I don't think Celtic will be the club that he goes on to further his career. So it's up to him. He's had a poor spell, you know, even at Plymouth. I think Derek Adams was looking for a lot more out of him. But he's come up to Motherwell. He knows the Scottish game. He'll probably play in the derby against Hamilton, the cup tie this weekend. And you could get off to a great start in your career. So he's really got to just concentrate on Motherwell, build on that, try and get yourself back in track. Because I do agree with Martin Asensi, he has got really good ability, but I don't think he'll ever be a Celtic player.
Look, I have to agree with that.
I mean, hold on. You were his biggest defender in this programme. You told us time and time again he would cut it at Celtic.
Well, he's folded.
When he went, I thought he did have the ability. I know he did have the ability, because I played with him and I seen it. What I think was Nadir's problem is, when he was at Dundee United, he was the main man. He was the guy that we looked at. Now, I know we had, at that time, we had Gold and we had Armstrong, Mackay Stephen, but Nadir was the one that was getting a lot of the headlines. He was the main striker. You know, he could be temperamental sometimes, but a flash of genius. And he would get the crowd, you know, behind him. And he was one of these confidence players. And a lot had to be about him, which was great, because he dug the team out of so many holes. When he went to Celtic, you're surrounded by players who are the main men, you know, and guys who were bought for a lot more money, a lot more experience, and can change a game perhaps better than you can. And I don't think Nads really took to that. And it would have dented his confidence. I think he will succeed at Motherwell. I think going into that environment, I think, once again, it's almost like a Dundee United situation where he will be the main man. He's the guy that's coming on loan for Celtic. He's a kind of big star, big attraction. And I think he will fit into that environment. And I think Motherwell, with the squad of players they've got, have got a lot of workers, you know, hard workers round about him, that he might get away with doing the other side of the game. But give him the ball and he might create. So I think he will succeed there.
That's something that you always hear get levelled at Nadir Chiefchi, that perhaps he doesn't put in the same amount of effort as he perhaps should. Is that fair, or are people misunderstood him?
Look, I'll be honest, I think that's fair. I think it's fair. Now, you get strikers who'll buzz about. Stephen Naismith is one who'll work his socks off. You'll see him chase back. But Nadir was never like that. He would do it in fits and starts, and you would never get it for the full game. But what he does do with energy, he saves with that. When you give him the ball, he can go and create. He can go and beat 3 and 4 players that other guys in the team can't do, and score you a worldie. So you need
a worldie.
Well, you need.
We're not down the park now.
Well, God knows that's young footballer speak.
Oh, is it?
That,
exactly.
They maybe didn't say that in your day, but that's what cool kids like Mark
exactly
say nowadays. So get
and
with
guys
the times,
like us,
if you don't mind.
But he'll do things that the other guys can't do, and I think that's worth a gamble. Is it a gamble really taking him free? Because he scored what, 30 or 35 something goals for United
move as well.
So I think it's a good move, and he'll create where Motherwell are probably lacking just now with the signing out, you know, the Louis Moult going the other way. So I think it's a player Motherwell need, and I think it's something more importantly that Nadir Chiefchi needs, a club that he can fit in and be the main man at.
P. McGee's on Twitter. He says, I'm a Celtic man, I don't think there's any doubt Naismith is the best move thus far in the window. Decent player, will offer Hearts plenty. I asked what the best piece of business was, so that doesn't necessarily have to be a player coming in. What about Kenny in Motherwell? What are your thoughts on this, Kenny?
Evening, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Kenny.
Hiya. No, I think the best bit of business in the window was a player that we lost. Preston getting Liam Holt. He's been easily the best striker outside the Old Firm for the last couple of seasons. And, you know, there's been plenty of Rangers fans, Aberdeen fans, been talking about how that he's the one that got away on a massive amount of occasions. And, you know, if you can bring in players like Cummins and Naismith, who Cummins has still got a lot left in his career, but Naismith has been there and done it. But I think it's for Preston, I think that'll prove to be the best signing of the window. That's, for anybody.
That's fair enough. I did say the best piece of business, so it doesn't have to be a signing. Mm. What about Kenny's theory then? Managing to hold on to Louis Moult until now, he got them into a cup final and still got a bit of cash for him as well.
Yeah, you can't deny that he was terrific for Motherwell. It is a big loss. He's obviously wanting to go down to the Championship and try it down there. It is a very difficult league. Very good size down there, big money. You see, for instance, teams like Leeds United, I think they paid something like $4.5 million for a player today. So it shows you the sort of money that's bandied about down there. It's very competitive. I'll be interested to see how he does, Gordon. We're looking forward to seeing if Louis Moult can go down there and keep banging in the goals. He certainly has a terrific talent, and he deserves his chance.
Kenny, we just actually heard from Nadir Chiefchi, so it seems like a good opportunity to get your thoughts on him. He was quite keen to move away from the suggestion that, you know, that the pressure's all on him to replace Louis Moult's goals. But how do you think he'll do? Is that a signing that excites you?
If he can recreate his Dundee United form, I said, there's not a club in the country that it wouldn't excite. You know, I'm on the Well Fans 2 Facebook forum, and somebody posted up a video reel of some of the goals that Nadir scored over the years. And the thing about him is he can plant himself into the ground and nobody will move him, and he can turn with a lot of power and hold people off. And you know, that's a great attribute for him to have. I don't think there's a Motherwell fan that wasn't worried about his temperament. But I think if he comes and we give him the opportunity, then I think this could be the perfect platform for him. But the fact that our manager has went out and signed two strikers to replace one shows how much that he's worried about the depth that we had. And I think that, you know, he's made good signings. I think that Nadir will turn out to be one of them. I think he'll be a good signing for us.
Again, you know, the headline that comes out of these things sometimes is Nadir Chiefchi talking about his future at Celtic, but these things take care of themselves, don't they, Mark? That's not really something he can concern himself with, because if he doesn't play well at Motherwell, then that certainly won't be, yeah, it won't be even a consideration.
No, not at all. I'm the same as Gordon, though. I think if he does do well at Motherwell and finishes the season, you know, in great form, scoring plenty of goals, I still don't know if there's a way back at Celtic. I think he'll be playing for his career at Motherwell, if you know what I mean. I think if he does well, you know, gets the fans on side, excites, then there'll be interest from the fans, and the fans will want him to sign for the following season. So if anything, he's got a lot to play for. He should concentrate in the place he's at just now, because that
Mark,
may be where
he is. I agree with you. He has got a lot to play for, because if he hopefully will be successful for our Motherwell team, Gordon, especially starting this week.
Well, I was going to say, actually, Kenny mentioned the Well Fans 2 Facebook. Did you start that? Are you the administrator of
Facebook?
I'm on it.
I know Kenny very well.
I'm sure you are.
But if Nads can get off running with a good will,
he's calling him Nads.
He's calling him Nads.
That's what you called him.
Ah, but you've no liked him for a year and a half.
If he can score a
worldie, just call him Nads.
If he can score a worldie, especially in the derby. But no, seriously, I think it's a big time in his career. I don't think anybody denies it. He has got bags of talent, but it's okay saying you've got bags of talent. You've got to produce it, and he's not produced it. And everybody gets back to his Dundee United days. How long ago was that, Mark? You know, and how many clubs ago was that? Yeah, so he's got to get back on the tracks running again.
Okay, Barry's a Celtic fan in Bells Hill. Hi, Barry.
How you doing, guys? All right?
Yes, not bad. What's your point tonight, Barry?
I'm a Celtic fan, obviously, and it's just been a lack of transfer activity. I'm not too much worried about it because your squad's good enough to win that week at Canter. I do believe we'll win it by about 20 points, but I think we need to shore up the defence a wee bit. We've got a good nucleus, obviously, and Tierney and Iron Ralston. I think we need somebody like an experienced centre-back. I know we've got Compere, but obviously he's injured for a wee while now. So we just need somebody with a wee bit of experience just to put an arm around these boys, guide them in the right direction.
Barry, the only thing I'll say to that is everybody is shouting and, you know, about Celtic because of Compere's injury. Should go and invest in a centre-back, right? Right, they should go in. But you look at the papers today. I was reading Brendan Rodgers' quotes. Brendan Rodgers was not happy when he was getting asked, because he's saying, that is a position I'm not interested in anymore. I'm happy with what I've got. So if the Celtic manager's telling you, then I don't think that Brendan Rodgers is in the market for a centre-half. Because he's sort of his comments today, when you read them, He was losing the rag a little bit, and that's not like Brendan Rodgers, because he was saying, don't waste my time. I don't want to be standing here, you know, wasting my time. I've got a million things to do explaining about the positions that I'm going to sign. Brendan Rodgers will sign players that will only improve his team. If they don't improve his team, he'll not sign them. He'll not just bring in numbers.
Barry, would it not seem like quite a knee-jerk reaction to sign a new defender because Marvin Compere's out for 3 or 4 weeks? I mean, if it was 3 or 4 months, that would perhaps be different.
Absolutely, Gordon. No, I don't think it's a knee-jerk reaction at all. Like I say, I know the whole Compere in, and I think the boys are experienced player. Like, his record speaks for himself, but I'm a believer you need at least like 5 centre-halves to play 2 positions, because we don't want to be in a position again that too many injuries actually hinder the defence, like last season. Obviously, we go Beaton, and he done an alright job, but is he a centre-half?
But if you bring in 5 centre-half, yeah, but
Boyata, Ayer, Simonovic, Compere,
that's 4.
Yeah. And we'll meet one up.
Well, Beaton, okay. Yeah. And even that five,
and Lustig
five,
can go in there as well.
That 5's a lot as well, isn't it? Yeah. To try and.
And then Sviatchenko's obviously went out the door. So you go, you bring in another centre half. And where is this magic centre half that everyone's chatting about that Celtic can just lure because they're in the Europa League? It's harder than that, I'm afraid, to go out and get someone.
Absolutely not. You know, like you're saying, Mark, where are we going to get a centre-half there? But that's not my job. That's Celtic's job.
Good point, Barry. Actually,
nothing, you know what I mean? Like, I believe 100% Brendan Rodgers. The man's a legend. He's, every time he speaks, I sit down and listen to him. But in this one, I do think we need to show the defence up a wee bit. But listen, I trust the man 100%. Whatever he does, it's not going to stop me from going to Parkhead every second Saturday, you know what I mean?
Okay, thank you very much to Barry, the Celtic fan in Bells Hill, giving us his thoughts on the transfer window so far. Before we get the travel with Amber, listen to this. Now, this is an offer that must excite everyone at this time of the year. The chance for you to ditch the January blues and win £2,000 in time for the weekend. I booked myself a wee holiday earlier, and £2,000, nice, let me tell you, would have come in nice and handy. It's a shame I can't enter these things, but you can. So if you enter Clyde One's 2K day, you could win £2,000 tomorrow. Now, all you have to do is text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025, and you're in with a chance. Now, you do need a GML, PAKA or FK in your postcode. A winner will be chosen at random when the lines close at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Text costs £1.50. All your T's and C's and online entry are at Clyde1.com. All that's left for us to do is wish you good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap in. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've just been hearing from Motherwell loanee Nadir Chiefchi on his hopes about kickstarting his career at Motherwell and the potential maybe that he manages to have a future at Celtic as well. Let's get back to the phone lines. It's 01419511025 if you want to get involved. Thomas is in Kilsyth. He's a Celtic fan. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Gordon. How you doing?
Not bad, Thomas. What's in your
mind
tonight?
Doing, guys?
Hey, Thomas.
First one's about Nadia Chiefchi. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was doing well at Dundee United when we signed him, scoring the goals. But I thought, personally, I thought it was a strange signing. because he never really hit the ground running when he came to Celtic. He didn't really, or maybe he didn't get a good enough chance, but I just feel it was a strange one, because as I say, he never hit the ground running.
I mean, hindsight's a good thing, but he was pretty sought after, was he not? Or, I mean, he certainly was in good form.
I think there were worse signings from Dundee United to Celtic going.
I know where he's going with this one. No, like, you're never going to know if you're going to hit the ground on it, but every time he played against Celtic for Dundee United, he put in a good performance. He was always a nuisance. He scored goals. He was a tough player to handle for the Celtic centre halves at that time. So I can only assume that the coaching team obviously identified him through that. Then obviously doing a wee bit of background checks, they looked at his goals he scored and what he did to other teams, and he was on fire at Dundee United. There's no doubt about it. But we chat about it all the time, me and Gordon, when we went to Celtic Rangers. It's different, you know, being at a club and then going to Celtic Rangers, where so much is expected of you. And I touched on it earlier, I think Nadir thrived on the fact that he was the main man at United, and that's where you got the best out of him. Celtic, there was other guys who were more prominent and more maybe loved, if you like, more loved by the fans, and maybe that dented his confidence a wee bit, and he didn't perform. And that's why he's found himself at Motherwell. That's why I say I think he'll be good at Motherwell. I think the fans will take to him, and I think he'll perform.
I mean, when you remember it as well, he went straight in at a time, didn't he, into the qualifiers, Thomas. He came in, Lee Griffiths was there, but he was chosen almost at the beginning as Celtic's number one striker. And I guess it's all about timing. When it doesn't happen straight away for you, then sometimes it's hard to recover from that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he was going to go for fun, Mark's right. He was on fire at Dundee United, but I just think it's like players that come for you, like your Dundee United and your Hearts, Habs, and go teams like Celtic and Rangers. They're maybe, I wouldn't say found out, but it shows you the kind of players there was at their old team. Then they come to a big team like Celtic or Rangers, and they can't find their feet anymore, if that makes sense.
Oh, well, there have been countless examples of that over
Don't think that's exclusive to Scottish clubs. No, Thomas, I think that's that's guys from abroad, from even the top leagues in England, who come up to Celtic and Rangers and think, I can make it here, but the club's just too big for them.
You want to come back in, Thomas?
Yeah, I can understand that, Mark, but I just think he'd be fine at Motherwell well. But if this will be Louis Moult, not be near Louis Moult, was a great player, obviously, for Motherwell. Moult scored goals for fun. And I think Tuchel will score goals for them, but I think he would do well at Motherwell. I don't think they would get him again for Celtic. Personally, I don't think he will.
Thomas, did you say at the top there you had a second point to make? I just don't want to move it on if you do.
I had a second point to make. As usual, we're saying players and they get injured. Marvin Comper. I don't know how it's going to affect the... Obviously, I know he's trying to play against Zenit. I know that. But I just feel that we're lacking a defender for this game. Not just for this game, obviously, just for the rest of the incoming season. Because our defence has been pretty shaky, to say the least, for the past few weeks.
Does the fact that Marvin Comper couldn't play against Zenit anyway mean that this injury, the impact of it, it won't be felt quite as much? Because if he was signed with the expectation of, right, he's the man that goes into that defence for one of the biggest games of the season, let's see what he can do, hopefully Celtic can get through and all the rest of it, then maybe that would be different. But he couldn't play anyway, so...
Yeah, I don't see the big deal about it. The guy's... Anybody can pick up an injury.
It's just a calf strain. Totally, it's not
nothing that's plagued him all his career. And you're right, if he was going into the Zenit game, then it'd be a bit of a concern. He wasn't going to play anyway. Celtic have got more than enough cover domestically to fit someone else in there. So I don't think it's a big deal.
Happy with that, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Good man. That was Thomas, Celtic fan in Kilsyth. Michael McGill's on Twitter. He says, Gordon, does Wee Wills... I think that must be you.
Is that me?
Does Wee Wills think Celtic need an out and out right back? Now, before you answer that, that does make me laugh because
right. Yes, what a tweet,
Michael. The word "wee" in there is what's caught my eye. Gordon DL every time we go to a break, he's got something ridiculous on his mind that me and Mark Wilson have to deal with. He's trying to tell us that he used to, listen to this, he used to be 6 foot one.
And he's 6 foot.
That's not what you said. He said he used to be 6 foot one and he's now 5 foot ten. He thinks he has shrunk that dramatically over the space in a couple of years, and he is convinced, and he's got people in the studio doing the old back to back, seeing how tall he is. And Mark, honestly, I don't know how he gets through a day.
Well, he says he was 5'10. I'm now 5'10. So I says, well, I'm 5'10.
Yeah, but
let's go
but
back
look
to back.
How your hair is.
I'm 2 inches bigger than him.
No, you're not.
Honestly,
your hair is.
You're unbelievable.
With the gel.
Sorry. We're off on a bit of a tangent there. Does Wee Wills think Celtic need an out and out right
wee
back?
Wee man. What's your thoughts?
A wee man. I can see where that point's coming from. I think Lustig has done a terrific job. None better than displacing me and making sure I was at the club. But I think he's a quality player who may be coming to the end of his career. And I can understand some Celtic fans. I've heard this before. Some Celtic fans saying to me, you know, we need a right back. Lustig's ran the course. I still think he does a very good job for Celtic. I don't think he's done as well this season as he did last season. And I still think he's got a lot left in him. I would just like to see somebody push him that wee bit harder.
Is Ralston Ralston, the last to
now
do
Ralston
that?
But Ralston's been injured,
yeah, I know that.
For a wee while. So I think Ralston,
but make that
has
happen
got the ability
now,
to do it.
Rather than
if Ralston gets back fit, I think that could happen. It depends how quickly he gets up to speed. But to have one guy, one right back for the majority of the season, and he's an older guy, it's a lot on Mikael Lustig's shoulders to carry that. So I can see the concern why people might think. And even if he does, Ralston does push him, then there's going to be a time that Ralston's the number one. You need somebody to push him. So, you know, Gamboa's not done it. So perhaps you do need someone else in there.
I mean, Mikael Lustig, obviously very experienced international player. Yeah. He's still playing at that level as well. He does seem to have gathered a bit of criticism recently. Any chance that Anthony Ralston manages this season to displace him, or is that further down the line?
I think it'll be further down the line. I think it's time for a young lad to get, obviously he's been injured, get back into full fitness. I've watched him a few times, Ralston. Very impressed with him, Gordon, especially going forward. I think he suits Celtic's style of play. I was the one that, when the January window opened, people were saying, well, if you were Celtic, who would you bring in? I would have looked for a right back. I think Lustig's been a terrific servant. And I think what Mark's touching on, to go another season and play the amount of games that Celtic play, I don't think he'll be able to do that. I think it's time that he does need a bit of challenge in that right back position. Whether young Ralston can get in there and play, you know, game after game after game, is still something we have to see. But I wouldn't be surprised in the summer, for instance, that if Celtic brought in a quality right back.
Okay, Thomas is in Clydebank. He's on Twitter though. He says, speaking of Chi-Chi, my wee boy must have been one of the very few with him on one of his Celtic tops. There's nothing worse, is there? See, when you get the new sign in, you rush out, printed on the back of the top, and then it doesn't work out, or he gets injured in the first game.
Number 7 as well, so it was an iconic number
and a nightmare for Thomas. And Larson39's on Twitter, because I mentioned my holiday earlier. He says, if Gordon Duncan's going on holiday, will Gordon DL be hosting while he's away?
Imagine that. That'd be good.
Conversations.
He wouldn't even get put on air. How much he'd muck up the buttons.
How much you've shrunk, how many steps he's done in his Fitbit, how many calories he burns off in his sleep. Yep. Less said about that, the better. Don't worry, Larson39. I'm under strict orders to not go on holiday until the season ends. It's time for us to do this, though.
Beat the pundit with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday.
It is time for you to pick up the phone if you want to play Beat the Pundit. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are both here. They're both raring to go, but they need someone to take them on. So if you want to play, go and pick up the phone right now and dial 0141 951 1025, and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
into the second hour of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. We're going to hear from Celtic defender Christopher Eyre. Now, he says he's loving life under Brendan Rodgers and he's targeting being Celtic's number one centre half. So Celtic fans, want to know what you think of his chances of really nailing down that position in the second half of the season. 01419511025. We're on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB, and we'll hear from Christopher Eyre after this.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Okay, let's meet tonight's contestant. He's Andy Stewart from Dunoon. He's a Celtic fan. Hi Andy.
How's it going, guys? Alright?
Yeah, not bad, you?
No bad.
I like to just get a wee feel for your thought process. I'm going to toss the coin, but who would you rather play? Have you spotted a weakness in any of these two masterminds?
Mark.
Straight to the point, Andy. Don't think about it too long,
Andy. Say what you really think. Say what you really think. Don't beat around the bush, Andy. Okay, well, let's toss the coin anyway. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon DL. And it is actually tails, it's Gordon DL. So the weakness, Mark Wilson gets away with
it. I'm hopeless.
Andy's just rubbing this in, Mark.
I know, thanks, Andy.
Let's give Gordon some Clyde 2 in his ear so he can't pinch your answers. And we'll get the clock set up. Andy, it's 30 seconds, head to head. Remember, you can pass, but here is your chance to beat the pundit, okay? Ready?
Yep.
Which two teams face each other tomorrow night in the Scottish Cup?
Pass.
Aberdeen's Frank Ross has joined which Scottish Championship club on loan?
Mon.
What's the name of Fraserburgh's home ground?
Pass.
Other than Hibs, what other team did Liam Henderson go on loan to?
Barry.
Where did Kenny McLean start his professional career?
St Mon.
What type of animal is on the badge of Sheffield Wednesday?
An eagle.
Okay.
Dreadful.
You're close. Let's bring Gordon DL back. Don't give anything away just yet, Gordon.
Yeah, go for it.
Don't sound too enthusiastic over there.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry I woke you up from your slumber. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, doc. What two teams face each other tomorrow night in the Scottish Cup?
Cove Rangers and Fontaine.
Aberdeen's Frank Ross has joined which Morton. Scottish Championship club on loan? What is the name of Fraserburgh's home ground?
Bellesley.
Other than Hibs, which other team did Liam Henderson go out on loan to?
I'll pass.
Where did Kenny McLean start his professional career?
Some none.
What type of animal is on the badge of Sheffield Wednesday?
I know.
And which former England international, just in time, made four appearances with Falkirk in 1996? Quickly.
I can't answer. I don't know the question. What was the question? Repeat the question,
nah,
please.
Too late.
Oh, come
too
on.
Late. Too late, no chance. You're not getting a second bite at that one.
Who is this?
Let me go through them.
Cove Rangers and Fontaine. Fontaine. Oh, is it again? Fontaine.
Fontaine.
I must get that.
Oh, that is a mare. What an absolute mare he's had. Right, let's go through them. What two teams face each other tomorrow night in the Scottish Cup? It is Cove Rangers away at Fort Martin.
Are you giving me it?
Not in a million years.
That sounds insane.
Fontaine.
Fontaine.
Who or what is Fontaine?
They're a Highland club that's nicknamed Fontaine.
Absolute mile out. Okay, Fort Martin against Cove Rangers. So none of you got that. On to the second one. Frank Ross has joined Morton on loan. Well done, you both got that. So it's 1-1 at the moment. What's the name of Fraserburgh's home ground? And you're a Celtic fan. I'm sure you're not concerning yourself with that too much this weekend. But Gordon is. You're not planning a trip up, are you, to Bellesley?
Yeah, I'm going.
I'm sure you are.
MD1, a lift, gives a shout.
At Bellesley Park. So Gordon moves into a 2-1 lead. Andy, I can see what you were thinking, but the other team Liam Henderson went to on loan was Rosenborg. So this was previously. So
come on.
Oh, Fontaine.
And the next question, you both got that one right. Where did Kenny McLean start his professional career? St Mirren. So Gordon's still one up, and then he's pipped you in the last one as well. What type of animal is on the badge of Sheffield Wednesday? It's an owl. You said an eagle, Andy. So, I mean, you were right in the sense that it was a bird.
No, right. My lantern's that you see right around one, doesn't he?
I'll give him a point for
that. I'll give him a point for that one. That's good.
Andy, you ever thought about your own nature documentary? Aye. One turns it seemed right round, and the other one, Disney. I like that. The difference between an eagle and an owl, thanks to Andy in Dunoon. Well done to Andy. Hard lines. Somehow, despite thinking that Fontaine is a football team, you have actually won Beat the Pundit. I can't believe it.
Why not?
What was the answer to the last one?
What was the question in the last one?
Which former England international made four appearances with Falkirk in 1996?
I don't know. That's why I asked.
I wouldn't have got that.
Chris Waddle.
Oh, no chance.
He did. Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, you do now. And you also know that the difference between an eagle and an owl is that one turns its head right round and one Disney.
That's good. That's
pretty
good
simple.
I can't believe that Highland team.
Fontaine.
I was so close. Would I got half point for Cove?
No, I just, it was so ridiculous that
I was nearly there.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not buying that whatsoever.
I'd have got that in catchphrase.
Right, okay. I said Celtic fans, we were going to hear from Christopher Ayer. I want to know if you think this is the year where he makes a claim to be Celtic's number one centre-back, or certainly in the starting 11. I know you've been enjoying his performances recently, but can he manage to stay there on a permanent basis? Christopher Ayer says he's loving life under Brendan Rodgers and says he is targeting being Celtic's number one centre-half. Now, the 19-year-old's put in a string of impressive performances recently, and as they look ahead to the Scottish Cup clash with Brechin this week, he feels it can only get better.
You know that it's a big expectation when you play for Celtic, and every game is big, and especially when we go to Celtic Park, all the teams want to come and try to beat us. It's a big game for them, but it's a big game for us as well. We respect all the teams we meet, and we know that they will make it as tough as possible for us. No, it's been a positive December. I played a lot of games, and the manager put faith in all of his players in the squad. And when he puts you in, you know your job, so it's easy to get the chance. And especially when you get your chance for Celtic, yeah, you have to grab it. And as I said, it's one of the biggest clubs to play for, so I'm just really happy to be here now. I know that I'm still young, and that I still got a lot to learn. And to be fair, when you play for Celtic, you have to take one game at a time and perform at every single opportunity. So just looking forward to the next game now on Saturday. We want to start well the second half of the season, and I think I'm developing really, really good here. The last year I've been here in the club has been extremely good. First alone I had in Killy, where I got the game time, and coming back to the club, I felt stronger. I felt more ready to play, and I feel I'm developing really good. Yeah, I don't know what the starting 11 will be on Saturday, but I will always do my best in training, and I'm still 19 years old. I can develop so much more, so I'm just taking one day at a time, to be fair.
Celtic fans, after this winter break, is Christopher Ayer in your first choice defensive pairing, yes or no? 0141 951 1025. John Paul Monaghan is on Twitter. He says Ayer has been a breath of fresh air since he broke into the first team. He'd be my first pick in defence from now on. The boy's a class act, the new Van Dijk ? Certainly that's high praise. I don't know if we want to get that far ahead at the moment, Mark.
No, not that far ahead at the moment. He's only
Is he first 19. Choice at the moment? Is it too early to say that for sure?
Look, I think he is first choice. I think the games he's came in, he's been a standout. I think the way he's defended has been exceptional. And sometimes, okay, he's going to be a wee bit raw sometimes because he is still learning. But I think there is a maturity about him. I think there's a strength about him. He's not been messed about. I've mentioned this show a few times, the way he handled Adam Rooney, I was impressed with. And the way he played, even in the Rangers game, I thought he'd done fine in that as well. So I think for such a young lad coming in, who has been frustrated, remember, he's sat on the bench a lot, and he's been out of squads, and he's went on loan, so he's been frustrated. For someone who's been given their chance when there's been problems, I think he's taken it. So I think he is first choice. I think one of the only blemishes is when he came in against Astana, but I think the full team.
He was alongside Nir Beaton as well that night, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's easy to blame the centre halves and everything going wrong in the defence. The full team has to take responsibility for that, not a 19-year-old kid. So I think that's a wee blemish. But apart from that, I think he's done very, very well, and I think he deserves his place in that starting 11.
Yeah, can't really disagree with that. I think the fact he went out to Kilmarnock, got a bit of game experience, has helped him. Brendan Rodgers has put him in there at centre back and kept him in for his performances. The one thing I do think where his big strength is, the way Celtic play from the back, he's able to step into the middle of the park, and he looks very comfortable in there, obviously, and making the passes. And I think that's what Brendan Rodgers likes about him. Mark touched on it. Yeah, there's one or two times you watch him and you think, well, defensively he gets caught out of position, but remember, I think he's only still 19 or something like that. Yeah. So he's certainly got a terrific future ahead of him, and I think he is in there in merit. and I think he is number one on the centre-half's list and whoever plays beside him.
Celtic fans, Mark Wilson thinks Christopher Ayer is the first choice, or certainly one of the first choice picks at the back for Celtic at the moment. Do you agree or do you have other thoughts? 01419511025. Mark, how much of this though is in reaction to what happened at Tynecastle? Because people really seem to lose patience with Boyata and Simunovic that day. Surely, if they have been good enough for Brendan Rodgers up until now, is it really likely to change just on the back of that?
Well, quite rightly so. It was a poor performance at Tynecastle. So when you get a poor performance, it doesn't matter how well really somebody's done for you. If you see it coming over a number of weeks, and you know the Celtic fans kind of sense things weren't going right at the back there, kind of all came apart at Tynecastle. So Brendan Rodgers obviously seen the same, thought he had to make a change. Now when he makes a change, if the guy you put in is doing terrifically well and you look a more solid unit, well, you can't change back. So that's what I like about Ayer. He's been given a chance on merit. He was doing well in training. But then it's up to him to take the chance. He could have went in there and had a nightmare or looked a bit shaky, and he would have came straight back out the team, and Simunovic would have went back in and may have formed a partnership that might have looked solid. But Ayer's not allowed him to do that. And that's what I like about the boy, 19-year-old, he stood up to the challenge.
Well, here's what his manager makes of him.
In the last season, I think he's made big strides. You know, come in here as an 18-year-old guy and haven't played first-team football in Norway, but needed to, I suppose, maybe get used to a more physical game. But I've been really impressed with him. You know, as a 19-year-old boy, he's shown up very, very well any time he's played for us. And obviously the last period that he's played, he's been exceptional, really. So, still a lot for him to improve on, but that's what we love to do. We love to coach the players here, make them better, and I'm sure he's got a lot of development left to become a better player, but so far he's doing very well. You know, if I didn't have the belief in him, you know, a Celtic Rangers game is always a huge game, and I thought he coped with that side of it very, very well. So it's just him getting experiences. You know, he was given some experiences of the Champions League qualifiers in which he'd done very well. And it's just adding to that. And since he's come into the team, he's been very, very good.
And more coming in on Twitter. Michael McBride says, definitely first choice for Celtic. Been outstanding since he came into the team and growing in confidence every game he plays. Colin is in Easterhouse. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Gordon, how you doing?
Not too bad, Colin. You wanted to talk about some young defenders in Scotland, I believe?
How you doing, Gordon? How you doing, Mark?
Hi, Colin.
Listen, I was listening to your conversation about Christopher Ayer, and he's a Celtic player, and I don't particularly talk about Celtic players, but I was driving about and I was like, he's getting a wee specialist boy, and we've got an 18-year-old boy at Ibrox, Ross McCrory, and he's no had the publicity that this boy's got. That's a young Scottish boy, and I emphasise the word Scottish. So I do. And yet, you still find alright to talk about an 18-year-old foreign boy. How do we know wax and lyrical about our own boys?
Well, first of all, Colin, I don't think it matters really what nationality they are, but I do take your point. Where I would disagree with you is that Ross McCrory hasn't had praise. He's had praise on this show, yeah. He's had praise in pretty much every outlet I can think of, Gordon. I think everyone's been praiseworthy of Ross McCrory so far.
I think Colin's a bit wrong there. I think Ross McCrory has had a lot of praise, a lot of, you know, positive feedback from everyone. I like the boy. We discussed, he started off at centre-back, and Murty decided to move him in just in front, in the front of the diamond there, to protect the two centre-halves. And I think he's been Rangers' best player. I think he's been absolutely terrific, the kid. And he's another one with a terrific future. And you're right, Gordon, it's not just because they're Scottish we have to talk Scottish people up. They play in our league. We talk about young players. We talk about young talent. You know, we're looking at even guys at Dundee. Jack Henry, I think, is another one that's going to come through and have a big career. But Ross McCrory, I think, gets all the plaudits in the world in this show from everyone. And, you know, supporters have phoned in here and spoke many times of his performances, and this boy will just get better and better and better. And he's certainly another one for the future, and it's good for the Scottish game.
Second half of the Celtic Rangers game, where he played that holding role, I thought he was outstanding. For such somebody so young to play in there against Celtic's attacking threats, main attacking threats, and kind of hold that midfield together, I thought spoke volumes for it. I think he's a terrific young player as well, Colin. I think he's one who's got a bright future. And what Gordon says, I think he's better in that holding role in midfield than he is centre half. I think he sees a game in front of him. I think he can control a pace of a game as well, but also break up attacks. I think that's made for him, that role.
Where would you rather see him play, Colin?
The holding role, centre midfield. Definitely, I think the boy can boss a game, 19-year-old. I mean, that's why I'm quite passionate about this young boy, because I mean, Celtic's had Kieran Tierney, and don't get me wrong, he's a cracking player. I think he's still got a wee bit to go to beat. For the evidence that I've seen the other night here with the Liverpool-Man City game, I think Kieran's still got a wee bit to go to beat Andy Robertson. But with Ross Nicore, I think the boy's just going to get better and better. So I do.
What's behind that feeling, Gordon? Because I think most people now, I think most people that you hear from say that Ross McCrory is better suited to a holding midfield role rather than a central defensive role. Is it purely because he's not overly tall? Does that still matter the way it used to?
No, I think he reads the game very well, Gordon. He allows the attacking players to get forward, and he gives great protection to his two centre backs as well. He's quicker across the ground. He's strong in the tackle, and when he gets the ball, he can use it. I wouldn't have any worries about him getting into centre half, but if I was picking my strongest Rangers side and you asked me where I would play him, it's only my personal opinion, I would play him just sitting in front of the back man. I think he's tailor-made for that role. He just looks so comfortable. And Brendan Rodgers touched on a point there about Ayer and the fact that, well, if I've got the confidence to get in and play him against Rangers in a massive game. Mark touched on it as well. McCrory, I thought, against Celtic, was a second half was absolutely terrific. So it shows you that he's got the strength of character as well.
Colin, if you fancy Ross McCrory to stay in midfield, how do you see the midfield shaping up then, with not only the new arrivals but players coming back, and we understand the move for Greg Docherty's getting a bit closer. So if all of that was to come off, how do you see all the pieces fitting together?
Back in. I would have Jamie Murphy. Dorans, McCrory, Murphy, Widnes.
Would you leave out Ryan Jack?
There's plenty of midfields now, ain't there, Gordon?
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that today, Colin. You know, if they go and snap up another midfielder, Dockery from Hamilton, say, he's going to have some choices in there. He really has. We're missing guys like Holt, who the Rangers fans like. Windass is split decision with supporters, but I think he's got a lot to give. Murphy's coming in. Ryan Jack, Dorans is a big player for them.
Halliday's come back.
I don't think he's got a feature.
I know he had a difficult time. I'm talking just purely about numbers, though. It's still another body there that you have to decide what to do with.
So many numbers in there, it's incredible. You know, you even look at the guys that I think he'll be looking to ship on. Cruncher, for instance, another one looking to ship on. But he's got so... If he gets Docherty in there, he's got so, so many options. And it'll be interesting to see when the massive game against Aberdeen, the first league game back at Ibrox, I'll be interested to see what his team's going to be in the formation.
01419511025. Get in touch, let us know what football matter is on your mind. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here, and they're going to face a full-time teaser after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's that time of the night where we give these two a full-time teaser, and I know lots of you like to play along at home as well, so listen up. I think this one's relatively simple, I think, and it was sent in by Ryan Preston. You know the drill by now, folks, but just in case you're new to this, we take your teasers in, we try and catch the guys out with them, and you get to sit at home and feel smug if they can't answer. So if you want to send your questions in, maybe you've got a nice piece of trivia, well, you can send them in to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com, and hopefully we can get them on air and try and catch the guys out. So like I say, this one's sent in by Ryan Preston, and I've edited it slightly, but he says, since the start of the Scottish Premiership in 2013, There have been 9 non-Scottish managers that have managed but are no longer in the league. Can you name them? So since the start of the Scottish Premiership in 2013, there have been 9 Scottish managers that have managed in the league but are no longer in that division. Can you name them?
Like Lee Clark, you mean?
Like Lee Clark, I mean. Well, yeah, done. Okay. Good start. Yeah. I'll take one from you, Mark, to get the ball rolling.
I was still writing down the question there. Lee Clark.
Yeah, Lee Clark.
You don't need me to read it one
Ronnie
more time,
Dyla.
Do you? Yeah, well, Ronnie Dyla. Easy. Yeah. 2 to get us off and running. So Lee Clark at Kilmarnock, Ronnie Dyla at Celtic. That means you have got 7 more to go. Let's see if you can get them. You've got about half an hour or so to do it. I'm confident. I'm confident in your ability because this is an easy one. That's the only reason.
Think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why you gave it up.
Yeah, something like
last week's one was ridiculous.
What was last week's?
I can't remember. It was that hard. Okay. But remember, it was...
It must be really memorable.
Thanks for that. Got it in my diary at home. I'll look it up.
We were talking about Christopher Ayer before the break. Of course, we heard a bit from him. We heard about him targeting a first choice place in Celtic's defence. We heard Brendan Rodgers praising him as well. Sean McGee's on Twitter. He says, "Big Ayer is one of the next Celtic players to go down south for big money. Boy's a class act and will only improve the more games he plays. 100% deserves his place in the team." Regan Stevenson on the Ayer subject: "I feel he'll be the main fixture on the back line for many years to come. With progress so far, he can only improve. Plus Brendan's history and experience of developing youth might be the next big sum of money Celtic could get for a player." And of course, we were talking about Ross McCrory as well. We sort of merged into that discussion, and Roddy says Ross McCrory's outstanding but is better suited in the holding role away from home at the moment. On the phones, Williams and Craig End. Hi, William.
Oh, good evening, guys. How you doing?
Hello, William.
It's just I can see seeing Mark Wilson's getting it tight tonight because of Chief Jay, and he's probably been caught with the old Players Pals Act. Mm. I think at the time when Chief Jay signed, I think both me and Gordon agreed that his work rate was a bit suspect and he didn't defend for the front. But what I would say is I think we should put it back on Gordon, because when Gordon used to bang on about Celtic having 5 loan signings, and he thought that was too many, and he hasn't mentioned Rangers having 4. He used to say that 1 and 2 loan signings was enough for any clubs. So I would just like his thoughts on that.
When was this, Gordon? Remind me.
When was this, William?
A
season and a half ago, 2 seasons ago.
He probably doesn't remember, but I think at the time, when it was under Ronnie Dyla, Celtic went out and had 5 loan signings, and Gordon used to bang on about it, said it was too many and only 1 and 2 was enough, you know. And yeah. I was wanting to ask him his point on it.
No, I think 5 is too many. I think 4's perfect. No, I'm kidding, William. I can understand Rangers bringing in the loan signings. Do I like it? No, I don't. I think it shuts the door and younger players getting an opportunity. But Rangers are at the stage where they've got to bring in players that will try and get them second place, which is a big season for them. They're still in the Scottish Cup. In January, to bring in 4 signings, you've got to say the 4 signings have been brought in. I think a lot of Rangers supporters are quite excited about. They quite like the way that Murty's went about the transfer window. But I'm not a great fan of 4 and 5 and, you know, as many loan signings as that. I just think that you should promote within your own club. Or if you're going to go out there, and I can understand people saying, well, we've got them at the end of the season. If they don't work out, what happens if the manager doesn't work out? It's not the same case as Kashinya. By the way, he must be winning the quiz.
What a shout that is.
It's not like he's put them on contracts and then he leaves and Rangers are left with the guys on big money that they have to try and ship out. I can totally understand where Rangers are coming from, but I'm not a big fan of it, William, but that's only my personal opinion.
Want to come back in, William?
No, but just to back up Mark, since he's been getting it tight tonight on Tuesday, you know.
Thank you.
We actually did
always appreciated.
We did have a tweeter earlier that I wish I could find it now, who said that Mark and I had been giving Gordon a hard time and we should ease off because he's an old man. Basically, was what the tweeter said. And I wish I could find it. It was Jacqueline. There we are. Jacqueline
and
says,
"Small,
stop being mean to Gordon DL. Yeah. He's an old man. Gordon D and we Mark should show respect and tolerance to the elderly." William, we were talking, in fact we were hearing from Christopher Eyre just a second ago. I was asking the Celtic fans if they thought he was very much a first choice defender at the moment. What are your thoughts on that?
I think definitely domestically. I mean, European level I'm not sure about yet. I think it's still early days for the young boy, but he's definitely got a talent. I like his burst into midfield. He chooses his times when he bursts into midfield. And sometimes I can understand when a lot of people are talking about Van Dijk, but he's not on that level yet. He's nowhere near that level yet. You know, I think he's definitely got something. And I think Brendan Rodgers likes that. He likes players. And Beaton does it as well when he played at centre back. He likes players to choose their times and busting in the midfield, so it gives Celtic an extra man in attack and it plays it going forward, you know. So he's definitely got that in his locker, you know.
Yeah, well, there's a differing opinions coming in on Twitter. Thomas says that Big Ayer's one of the first names in the team sheet, never mind out of the centre backs. Also, he's starting to fill out more physically. But Silver Rock says, really, I don't see him as a first name, not in Brendan Rodgers' book anyway.
Well, you've got to disagree with that. Brendan Rodgers has come out and, you know, spoke him up there, said how terrifically he's done.
We've not seen yet, though, how Marvin Compere and all the rest of it fits into this equation.
Yeah, but I can't see Brendan Rodgers speaking so highly about him, playing him in these high-profile games. When I say that, I mean against Aberdeen, which was a top-of-the-table clash, and then against Rangers. And then he's going to just take him out because of they've got Compere. I can't see that happening. I think Ayer will stay in the team until he goes through a run of poor games or he makes a few mistakes. Then it might be right to take him out, give him a wee rest and put him back in. But I certainly can't see Brendan Rodgers saying, you've done terrific for us, well done, but we've signed this foreign guy who's a lot older than you and he's going to come in and take your place. Can't see that happening.
William, it's 7:30 on the Thursday night, so I think it's okay to look ahead to the weekend now. We're not getting too far ahead of ourselves. Celtic go into most domestic games as favourites. You're up against the only team in the country yet to win a league game this season in Brechin. It's at home. Where are the expectation levels for this one?
I think Brendan will change his team about, and you talked about Rowson. I don't know if he's back yet, but it would be a perfect game for Rowson to come in, you know. I think Rowson will get more games the second part of the season. I think it should be a comfortable win for Celtic, and I think Ayer will be good in that game as well, you know. I worry about his positional sense as well. We still get that to learn, you know. But I listened to, I think it was the Brechin chairman, and they seem to be bringing 1,000 fans down, so I think Brechin will be empty on Saturday.
1,000 fans, that's terrific.
They said they were going to bring 1,000 fans down, so, and they've organised buses and things like that, so it sounds like it's going to be a good game, and I hope they enjoy their day, you know, but I do expect Celtic to win 3 or 4, you know.
Okay, thanks to William in Craigend. It's 01419511025 if you want to get involved on the phone. St Mirren fans, this might be a time for you. Can you be the ones who caused the cup upset at the weekend? Going very well, but it's not going to be easy at Pittodrie, is it? Jack Ross says the trip to Aberdeen will show how far they've come as they look to continue that good run of form. The Buddies, as we know, are 8 points clear at the top of the Championship, but Ross admits it will take a huge effort from his players if they're going to progress.
I think they look forward to the game. It's a welcome break from league duty for us. It's an exciting tie to be involved in. I think for the players individually, it's an opportunity to show how good they are and test themselves against really good players. The approach changes game to game anyway, depending on the opponent and how we feel we have to play to nullify them and then try and win the game ourselves. So that has remained consistent. We obviously understand the calibre of the opposition we're playing against and the threat they can pose us. So that's been the work we've put in this week. Hopefully we can give ourselves a platform in the game that will allow our forward-going players to show the quality they have. But that's, you know, easier said than done. You have to go and play well on the day, obviously, to do that.
And the confidence in the squad, I imagine that there'll be no fear going up there ever?
No fear, but certainly a healthy amount of respect for the opposition individually and as a team. But the players do travel in as good a frame of mind as you could possibly be with the league position and the form they've been in. They understand that they're going to have to play really well on the day, but they believe they can play well, and if they play well, then we give ourselves a good chance. And that's really my priority for the game, is that they go and demonstrate why they're a good team, why they've won more often than not this season, and hopefully that'll be the case on Saturday.
So top of the Ladbrokes Championship against second place in the Ladbrokes Premiership in the Scottish Cup this weekend. Aberdeen, if you add the home advantage into it, given St Mirren, how much of a chance?
A decent chance. It's undoubtedly a difficult game, but it's a relief away from, you know, the pressures of the Championship being up the top there and having to pick up the 3 points. And I think that the St Mirren players, fans, everyone concerned with the club, I think they'll go and enjoy it. I think they'll go up there with a positive attitude. They're a decent side. I think Aberdeen will need to play well, Gordon. If Aberdeen are below par, then if you're looking for a cup shock, that could be the one. But if Aberdeen play at their potential and play at their best, then obviously with home advantage they'll win it. But I think that'll be a real ding dong. I think I'll be a cracker.
I will be. I think Jack will approach that game. We heard him, the belief he's got, and it's well known the belief he's got in himself and his team. I think he'll go up there and think they can win that game, and he's got that ability to transfer that to his players. Now, like Gordon, I think Aberdeen obviously are strong favourites, but it's a good tester for St Mirren and the players, where they might be and where it potentially looks like they're going to be next year. Games like this, where do they stand in terms of coming up against top opposition? How good are their team? And it'll be a good gauge for them come the weekend.
It's perhaps different though, because St Mirren would always go into a game, say it was a game against, I don't know, Dundee, Partick Thistle, Motherwell, for instance, so that would still be considered a level above. But you may be able to cash in on the fact that St Mirren have that winning feeling, they're full of confidence, whereas these sides might not be. The problem is Aberdeen are also flying high. They're second place. You go back to last season, a really good cup record recently, got to both finals last season. Obviously couldn't get over the line in the end, but they, you know, they'll be equally as confident, won't they?
Of course. Well, Aberdeen have been the second best team in Scotland for a number of years now, so it's not as if they're down the dumps, down their luck and all, going through a bad run. Aberdeen are doing well this season. Plus the addition of McGinn again back into the side lifts them again. So, you know, again, you'd fully expect Aberdeen to take care of business, as you would if they were facing another Premiership team. So, big favourites. But just that belief and that feel-good factor St Mirren's got, they'll go up there and make a game of it. But again, Aberdeen have got the experience and they know how to win games like that.
Okay, how are you getting on with this teaser? Remember, this was sent in by Ryan Preston. Now, we're looking for the nine Scottish... Right, I'll read it from the start because I know it's quite a long question. Since the start of the Scottish Premiership in 2013, there have been nine non-Scottish managers to manage in the league, but are no longer in the league. So before that, you gave me Ronnie Dyla and Lee Clark from Kilmarnock. Got any more?
Pedro Caixinha, we gave you.
Oh, sorry, Pedro Caixinha. Well, Warburton. Done. You've got three. Warburton's four.
We've got a cup. Mixed with Patelina.
Oh, it's not a bad shout. I thought you might struggle with that one. Five. I'll take one more at the moment if you've got it.
Give him one of the dodgy ones. We'll get out of the road.
Steve Lomas.
He left in June 2013, just before that season kicked off. Well,
unlucky, mate.
We'll get the answers to the full time teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, and they're having a go at this full-time teaser. We're looking for the nine managers since the start of the Scottish Premiership. So since 2013, we're looking for the nine non-Scottish managers who used to manage here but no longer do. What I will mention is we've made a bit of a rod for our own back with this one, because someone's tweeted in, actually, so fair play to them. Let me just double check the name of said tweeter. It's Paul Taylor, who says Danny Lennon. Now this, remember, on a previous question we did have Danny Lennon down as a non-Scot because he played internationally for Northern Ireland, so he's not on this list. I'll just throw that one out there. You can decide whether to include it or not. I'm still looking for nine, if that makes sense. I would never have got that. To be fair, well, I mean, he's Scottish in that in one respect, but on a previous question, we did have him down as
right. We'll scrap Danny Lennon.
Okay, yeah. What have you got for me at the moment?
Ian Barraclough.
Yes. That's
like, do you know what? I'm a bit gutted because I thought that was going to be the one that was going to catch you out.
No,
there's many ones that are catching
Ian Barraclough. Well done.
Motherwell through and through. Come on.
See, your one. Your one's a good one.
What one?
Hips one.
No, I don't think that's.
No.
Alan Stubbs?
No.
No.
Why not Alan Stubbs?
Because it was championship.
Championship.
Just keep me on your toes.
See, and plus I heard you was chatting about it out there. And you said it wasn't an answer.
You're kidding me.
By the way, I've got a cracker.
Go for it.
Hurry up then.
Inverness, Richie Foran.
Oh, well done. Good shout.
Oh, aye, that's a good one. Right.
There's plenty of time. Well, you're going to scoosh this. We're only looking for another two. I think you're going to nail it. You're going to absolutely nail it. 01419511025 if you want to get in touch on the phone lines at the moment. Let's see who's next on. David is in Bathgate. Hi, David.
Hi, good evening, gents.
How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. And yourselves?
Yes, can't complain, David. What's your point tonight?
I've got a couple of points for you, gents. I'm hearing from a very good source tonight that the Greg Docherty deal is very close to completion.
I think your source is right, David. I mentioned it a bit earlier on. I think you could be on to something.
Yeah, he's just given me a text message. Obviously, I'm not going to say who it is because obviously I'll put him in hot water, but it's looking like within the next kind of 24 hours it should be completed.
Yep.
And I've just really tried to ask the panel where they really feel that they think that he will fit into the Rangers setup.
David, I named the amount of midfield players that Rangers have got, and I even left out obviously Rossiter because he's never fit, and I don't think he'll feature. They've got so many options in the middle of the park; it's incredible now. I think young Docherty, he was in this studio. He spoke very, very well. Very level-headed lad. I've watched him with Hamilton. I think he's a terrific young talent as well. Great that we're trying to keep young talent in Scotland. I think he'll play. I think he's as good as anybody at Ibrox. But where he fits into the middle of the park is beyond me. And I'm so looking forward to the Rangers-Aberdeen game because he'll play his strongest team. We'll guarantee that against Aberdeen at Ibrox. Who will be that strongest starting 11 if everybody's fit, Gordon? That's interesting.
Are you thinking, you've watched Rangers a lot more than I have. You think he's thinking about changing shape? Because he's bringing all these midfielders in. And especially defensive ones, you know, or a defensive minded midfielder. Now, if he's playing the diamond, he's only got one guy there. It's got to sit out of potentially three or four top players. Are you going to have three sitting on the bench? Three defensive minded
But also, Matt, you've got Jamie Murphy, who I think's a definite to play.
Yeah.
You've got Cummings coming up. Will he partner Morelos? Which I think he will, because he's a top league goal scorer in Scotland, so you can't really leave him out. No point bringing Jason Cummings up. So all of a sudden, McCrory will definitely play. So all of a sudden, you've got this. But we've sort of dismissed Ryan Jack just now.
Ryan Jack, I mean,
you know, Dorans, I think when he comes back from injury, he'll play. So it's a real strong squad that he's got, especially in the middle of the park. He's got great options, and you're right. What formation will he play?
David, what about you then? Those two sat in the fence quite spectacularly there. They couldn't come up with a combination. What about you, David? You are the man. You're in the dugout. Graham Murty's off sick. You're in charge and you've got everyone fit. Who do you pick in midfield? And this is if Greg Docherty does go through.
I think, well, he's young, he's dynamic. He's obviously a Rangers supporter. So obviously he's hungry for, you know, to make the step up. And I think Rangers have now got to be looking at having young dynamic men at the football club with a wee bit of maturity as well. You've talked about Dorans, you've talked about Jack, you know, so they've got an abundance, you know, they've got plenty of midfielders, but it's really just, you know, a bit like Gordon and the guys, Mark, they've got so many midfielders where I'm just trying to kind of figure out where he fits in, really, which is great, you know, because I think Rangers now need to be looking at the future going forward as opposed to buying guys from the continent and buying guys who are going to 35 plus, you know, you've really got to be looking for the future because obviously we don't have as much money to spend as Celtic. Simple as that.
I mean, to be fair, that's the way it has to be, Gordon, if you want to challenge up towards the top end of a division. And I know the Celtic comparison's easy to make, and I'm not saying that that's the level that Rangers are at the moment, but I'm talking just purely about numbers. This is the exact same conversation we have when we say, how does Rogic and McGregor and Armstrong and Cham and Brown
competition
fit,
for places
fit in? So it has to be that way. And like I said, I'm going to repeat it before people misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's the same level, but it's all about having that competition no matter what level you play.
Plus the fact, I think for a Rangers manager, it's all about having options. If you look at what their bench is going to be, you've then now got guys that will be sitting on the bench desperate for a chance to go on and show what they can do. He's got options to change the shape. He's got options to change the way he wants to play. Excuse me. So I'll be interesting to see. We missed out a guy who plays week in, week out, Jason Holt, Windass. I know there's reports that Leeds United were interested in signing him. Cranshaw, I think his days will be now numbered, but still in big wage. Candias, who I think out the foreign ones with Morelos, has played particularly well in spells. He's got so many options in there, Gordon. It's incredible. And I could, yeah, you couldn't really second guess.
Is that because they're all of a similar level as well?
Probably, yes. And I think if you bring in young Dockery, I would certainly play him. I would play McCrory. You've got a young team in the middle of the park with a bit of energy in there. Dockery will
give
you
about 14 players playing.
Oh, I'm playing everybody. I'm a rugby team. I'm playing Wales. And,
but who do you leave out then? If you're playing all these and Dorans has got to play and you're saying Murphy's got to play.
Dorans got 24 aside.
Hold on. I would play McCrory.
Right.
I would play Docherty.
Mm-hmm.
I would play Dorans when he was fit.
Right.
And I would play Murphy.
So not Windass and not Jack.
Or Candace.
Orkandeus.
No.
So you just spoke up there.
No, that's fine. Right. At least he's made a decision. I'm happy with
and
that.
And I would play Cummings and Morelos up front.
There we are. We got there in the end, David. Did you have a second point to make?
Yes, a very quick one. This comes very much from left field. Now, this was given to me just prior to Christmas from a colleague of mine who works down in the Midlands area, who's very friendly with someone at the club. But he's told me that, and they've been in discussions for, well, obviously, quite a few weeks, that Paul Cook has been approached, who's the Wigan manager, to be the next Rangers manager.
Ooh, there's a name that we've not heard, and we've heard many of them. I mean, he's going well at Wigan at the moment, David. So if that's
good
a
result last night.
If that's a club with
last night,
you know, I know it's League One at the moment, but you're then considering a club that perhaps is aiming for the Championship on a upward trajectory. Do you think that's one that's realistic? Is it one that you would want to see?
Well, I've got to say, I mean, I'm very happy with what Marty's doing at the moment, and I think he's got to be given a bit of time. But as I say, that was just one that was given. It was a colleague of mine's. Obviously, I'm in the golf industry, and he stays down that way. He looks after that area, and he gave me that name. And so I was just wanting to obviously get the panel's thought on. Obviously, the guy's done very well for Wigan. He's brought them up. And obviously, is that, do you think, something that Rangers could maybe look at?
It's all going to depend, I suppose, on how Graham Murty does as well.
Well, exactly. Graham Murty's in the pole position. I know that people will say, well, it's only loan players, but if Docherty comes in, they'll be paying some money for him. The board are backing him. So he's in the position to go out there, and if he can get a good finish from now to the end of the season, then I don't see them looking at a Paul Cook. I think they'll stick with Murty.
I mean, he's top of the table in League One at the moment, Mark, so it's certainly... I mean,
would it excite though? Would it excite the Rangers fans and some of the names that have been rumoured over the past few months?
Well, it's not just about getting the right man though, regardless of.
Well, is that not coming from Mark Allen?
But getting the right man, yeah. But Rangers have failed in getting the right man a number of times. So going out and getting someone, I don't know. I'm with Gordon. I know we said they needed a new manager and Graham Murty wasn't the guy, but now it seems like he's been backed. And it seems like Gordon says, if he does well to the end of the season, he'll remain in charge.
Okay, thank you to David, the Rangers fan in Bathgate. It looks like that will probably, in fact, yeah, definitely be our last call of the evening. We're moving towards a full-time whistle here on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. But before we do that, we definitely have to get the answers to this full-time teaser. We're looking for the 9 managers since the Scottish Premiership started, non-Scots, who managed in the league but are no longer here. You've got 2 to get.
No, we've not. We've got 1.
No, you've got 2 to get.
Have it 2.
You've given me Dyla, Warburton, Kashinya, Clark, Patalainen, Foran, and Barraclough.
Terry Butcher.
Yes.
Yep.
And I'm going for it. Hibs. Pat Fenlon.
Oh, he's done it. Pat yes. Fenlon. That's a
yeah.
good shoot.
Good one.
I felt that was doable tonight. Well done. But thanks to Ryan Preston for sending that. And remember, folks, if you've got any teasers that you want to send our way, you can find us at fulltime@clyde1.com. Okay, thanks to Mark Wilson and Gordon DL for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Big thanks to everyone who got in touch on the phone lines and on Twitter, and a special thank you, of course, to everyone who listened at home. I'll be back tomorrow night. The big weekend preview starts at 6 o'clock. Derek Johnson will be here, and I know you've been desperate for these words to come out of my mouth: the return of Hugh Keevans. You've all been so worried about his whereabouts. Well, he'll be here at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.